This morning we're looking at Psalm 27, and when we read this psalm, we find that the psalmist says that he does not want to fear. He will not fear. And so the theme is fearless trust in God. And there are a lot of things in life that may cause us to fear, and I think it's one of those things that is easy to do, and we think that it is not something that's all that big a deal. You know, we don't need to commit adultery, but if we fear, you know, that's okay. We don't need to lie or steal or cheat, but if we have fear, that's not all that bad. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, where will the fearful end up? People who are fearful, where do they end up? Anyone? In hellfire. And so it is a big deal. It's just as wrong as lying, stealing, cheating, being fearful. Fearful of not standing for truth. Fearful of death. Fearful of the unknown. Fearful of retribution if we stand for right. Fearful of what somebody might say to us so we don't say it. Any of those kinds of things. Fear. And it can send a person to hell just as quick as what else is listed in that verse, lying. So it's something to think about. I think sometimes there are things in God's Word that, you know we shouldn't do, but it's not really all that bad. I mean, it's not as bad as adultery, just being fearful. It'll send us to hell. And so it's something to think about, and we need to make sure that we have the same attitude as the psalmist, that verse 3, my heart shall not fear. And we need to take that very seriously. I think sometimes we don't speak up because we're fearful. Sometimes we don't stand for truth because we're fearful. Sometimes we won't talk with others about the gospel because we're fearful of what, you know, losing friends, fearful of, you know, being an outcast, fearful of a remark that might be made or something like that. So we've got to be very careful about all of that. We need to have courage, and just simply verse 3, I will be confident. We need to have confidence and courage each day to live right. I'm fearful to obey the gospel because of what my family might say. I'm fearful of, you know, what they might say or think because it's different from, you know, what they did and that type of thing. We have to be very careful about that, and we have to look at our attitudes and our motives and things like that and ask ourselves, is it really because of fear that I'm not doing such and such? And if it is, we need to get over that before it's too late. So let's look this morning at Psalm 27, fearless trust in God. And let's be thinking about if there is fear in our life in some way or the other, that we're going to remove that before it's too late. The psalmist, if indeed it is David here, he certainly had plenty of things to fear. His own family, Absalom, Amnon, and people like that. He had Saul. He had enemies. He had people that didn't like him. So he certainly is speaking from experience. He talks about foes and armies and a host of armies and things like that. And he said he's going to trust in God and he's not going to fear. So we need to learn from this psalm. Also wanted to mention that as we go through this material, it's always good, and this is true with any Bible class, no matter where we're studying in God's Word, I think it's important to read just for personal devotion, not just simply to get the lesson. And so many of these psalms are really short. This morning after I got dressed, I just read Psalm 27, just sat down, read Psalm 27. It took less than 5 minutes. But I was reading it for my own personal devotion, not as a teacher. What questions can I come up with? That's another time to do that. I'm not reading it as a student. What's the answer to this question? There's other times for that. I'm reading it just for what is it for me? How can I benefit from this? What do I need to get out of this as a person? Not as a teacher, not as a student, but as a Christian. And so let me encourage you to read these Psalms just for personal devotion, not to get your lesson. You might do that before you even start, or you might do it when you're done, whatever suits you. But read it not to try to get an answer, but to try to say, how can I benefit in my life from this? So that's very important. Let's read together Psalm 27. Fearless trust in God. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh, even mine adversaries and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, even then will I be confident. One thing have I asked of Jehovah, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me secretly in his pavilion. In the covert of his tabernacle will he hide me. He will lift me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. And I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Jehovah. Hear, O Jehovah, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Cast me not off, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then Jehovah will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Jehovah, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. Wait for Jehovah, be strong, and let thy heart take courage. Yea, wait thou for Jehovah. So if you look at verse 1, there's the statement there, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? That would be a key verse. Also verse 3, my heart shall not fear, I will be confident. And then in verse 14, be strong and take courage. So these are verses that fit into the theme of fearless trust in God. And as we've said at the beginning, we need to make sure that we keep fear out of our lives. It comes up a lot, and it can be the very thing that can condemn us if we're not careful. If we were to outline this, Psalm 1 outline would be, and of course, keep in mind that these are things that we do to help us learn the text. There's no divine outline in the Bible. We outline in order to help learn and help us to see the flow of thought. This is one I would suggest. First of all, in verses 1 through 3, there's confidence of the fearless one. There's confidence in the midst of war. There's confidence in the midst of adversaries. And we need to have that. Verses 4 through 6, he has one desire, and that is to be in the tabernacle, to worship God. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Number 3, he has a prayer, verses 7 through 12, where he asks God for several things. He has requests, have mercy on me, and so forth. Put not thy servant away in anger. Teach me, lead me, and so forth. So prayers of request. And then verses 13 and 14, there's an exhortation. Especially in verse 14, he's not talking to himself. He's talking to his readers. Did you notice that? He moves away from himself and he wants his readers to be encouraged. So be strong and let thy heart take courage. Wait on Jehovah. That's for the reader's benefit. He's encouraging the reader to be strong, just like he has been strong. And so here are some exhortations right here at the end in verses 13 and 14. So confidence, desire, prayer, and exhortation. Matthew, we'll start with you this morning. Number one, what is the Lord to the psalmist? Okay. So we're looking at words that have some spiritual application. He's not talking about physical light, but light being a symbol of truth and guidance and, you know, showing him the right way, saving him. Okay, Jehovah is my strength. So light, salvation, and strength. And again, do we turn to God when we need guidance, light, when we need salvation, when we need spiritual strength? Do we turn to the Lord, or do we turn to, you know, something else? So the basis of one's confidence needs to be God. It doesn't need to be money, power, what I own, all my things. It needs to be God. Of course, he never changes, so he'll always be there. Number two, Janice, what question does the psalmist ask? Right, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? And that's a good question. If God is on our side, no one, including the devil. Well, I've just been diagnosed with, you know, a serious illness. The devil, lost my job. And you could list a host of other things like Job. I need to always be in a position where I have confidence that things are going to be right. Whom, including the devil, or what, including bad things, shall I fear? And that needs to be our confidence. That needs to be our attitude. And it doesn't just need to be something we say. I think sometimes people read the Psalms and they get this idea that, you know, David had these really cool things to say, but, you know, he didn't necessarily live by it. It's just something really neat, kind of like something that I came up with really neat. No, this is the way he lived. That was one reason why he was a man after God's own heart. But these are not just interesting sentiments and really neat things to say. They are, you know, words to live by. Okay, Mandy number three, what happens to the evildoers, adversaries, and foes? Right, they stumbled and fell. They're the ones that are going to have a problem, not me. Okay. Number four, Larry, how does the psalmist react in the face of invading armies and war?
Confidence without fear.
Exactly. He talks about no fear, and then he says, I have confidence, and it's a combination. We need that. And you think about someone who's about to face war, I think we face far less and we get fearful. When was the last time you walked out your house and you were literally facing a battle? We don't do that. We haven't had to do that. And yet David, in the face of that, had to do that. And of course, he fought the Philistines. There's several stories about him warring with the Philistines and different things during his lifetime. We face, I think, far less. And we still have problems. Oh, I'm about to face my coworker, and should I talk with him about the gospel? Which is harder, that or going out on a battlefield in a literal battle? I think talking with our coworker about the gospel would be a lot easier. And yet, you know, we fear that. So be careful about those kinds of things. If David can do it in a literal war, then we can certainly have confidence in the things that we have to face each day. Okay? Patty number five, what is the one thing that the psalmist asks for and seeks after? Right. And I wanted to spend some time on this one. One thing denotes singleness of purpose. I think one of our problems today is we're too scattered. We're We've got too much going on. We've got too much noise. We've got too much that we want to do. And we can't focus on one thing of a spiritual nature. This is a single-minded passion. This is a pursuit, a single-minded, single-hearted pursuit of the Lord. We're just distracted. And we'll talk about that some more when we get to the applications with regard to Mary and Martha, but we've just got too much going on. And I can't read my Bible and pray and be at church services and things like that. I've just got too much going on. And so David had things going on in his life, but he wanted to be in the house of the Lord. And in his day, of course, it would be the tabernacle. Later, it'd be the temple. And he wants to be there, verses 6, to offer up sacrifices and sing and so forth. So let's take note of this single-minded purpose. Paul had it. We'll talk about that in Philippians 3. Mary had it, Luke 10. We need to have it in our lives today. We see it in attendance problems. We see it in a host of other problems. Well, you know, I got to work, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And there's just too much going on. And so we need to get back to single-minded purpose. Okay, Shannon. Oh, go ahead, Shannon. Right.
Be in the household.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, people have single-minded purpose. It's just for the wrong thing. Right. One thing I don't want to do is go to church. Boy, don't want to do that. So everybody's sleeping in this morning, you know, sleeping in, and then when they drag out of bed around noon, because after all, you know, we had the 4th of July, you know, last night, so we're out partying real late. We'll get up about noon, drag out of bed, and, you know, maybe go to the lake for a little while or something like that. And the Lord just gets, you know, ignored. So we've got to get this back in our life. And that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life. It needs to be a lifelong pursuit. It needs to be something, a habit that we start in our youth and carry all the way through our life. Okay. And while we're still here on verse 4, the beauty of Jehovah, no one has seen God at any time, including David, so he's not talking about his physical beauty, you know, the way his hair looks and the clothes that he has on. He's talking about his character, his who he is, what he stands for, and the types of things that he does for mankind, his gracious acts and so forth. In verse 13, he describes the goodness of Jehovah. So that's the beauty of Jehovah, his who he is and what he does for mankind. His pleasantness, literally. Okay, so ask ourselves, do we have that single-minded devotion? Okay, Shannon number 6. What does the Lord do for the psalmist in the day of trouble? Okay, and this is one reason why he doesn't have fear. This is why he has confidence and not fear. He knows that God will be there to help him, and set him high on a rock is symbolic of safety and security. It's not literally, I'm waiting for God to lift me literally up on a rock somewhere. It's symbolic. A lot of the Psalms have figurative or symbolic language, so a rock is going to be symbolic of safety and security, shelter, that type of thing. So he knows that God will do that and keep him, guard him. In the covert, being hidden and protected, you know, when he comes to worship God. And so we need to have that attitude in our life as well. Okay, Sherry, number 7, what does the psalmist do for the Lord in the day of trouble? Okay, notice in verse 5, God is going to do this to me. But notice verse 6, I'm going to do something to God. That's very important. A lot of times it's all about, well, what's God going to give me? What's God going to do for me? How is God going to help me? Well, what about, what am I going to give God? Am I going to show up and worship? No, he needs to help me. You know, he needs to do something for me. He will. But we need to do something for him, so notice that. In the day of trouble, he's going to hide me and lift me up on a rock. But I'm going to offer up in his tabernacle. Not in my house, and well, I'll just do it at home. I'm going to be in the tabernacle and offer up songs of praise. So underscore that a lot of times in the day of trouble, what are we thinking? What is God going to do for me? Because I don't feel good, and so God needs to help me out, and he will. But what am I going to do for God? Am I going to be present to worship him? Am I going to serve him, you see? So we need to be mindful of that as well. So in the day of trouble, verse 6, I'm not going to sit around and sulk and whine and do this and complain. I'm going to go and worship God, and I'm going to sing songs of praise, sacrifices of joy. Yes, in the day of trouble, there's going to be joy. See, so that takes a right attitude, doesn't it? Okay, number 8. Eric, what requests does the psalmist have? Right. Okay, so he has some requests. Hear my cry and so forth. Answer me. Okay, and then Joyce, number 9, what does the psalmist seek?
The Lord's face.
Okay, the Lord's face. And again, not his literal face, but it's an expression that means to be in his presence, to be in favor with him, to be in fellowship with him and that type of thing. To come before him and worship and that type of thing. Okay? And number 10, what additional request does the psalmist have? Mike?
Do you ask the Lord, do not hide your face, do not turn your servant away in anger, do not abandon him who are forsaken.
Good. And again, God's not going to do that, and so it gives us confidence and trust where we don't fear. God's not going to forsake his own. We even have promises in the New Testament of that. Okay? So, these are the kinds of things that we need to be thinking about, and it helps to dispel fear. Patricia, number 11, what happens when the psalmist is forsaken by his parents?
The Lord will take care of
him. Exactly. The Lord will take me up, will take care of him. And think about all the people who might abandon you. The last person you would think would be your own parents, but even if that happened, the Lord would be there to take care of us. So that's a great promise. Number 12, we're back to you, Matthew. What further request does the psalmist have in the presence of his enemies? Okay. Notice in verse 11 that the standard of living is God's word. Teach me your way. It's not just I'm going to live any way I want, and you know, that's where my confidence is coming from. But it's always coming from I'm living by God's word. Okay. And number 13, Janice, what kind of adversaries does he have? Right. They breathe out cruelty. They're false witnesses. We're going to see this in the next psalm. A lot of what David says about his enemies have to do with what they say. They say bad things. They say things that are lies. You'll notice that in the psalms. So false accusations. Okay, and that can hurt a person, but he's not going to be moved by that. Mandy, number 14, what does the psalmist believe and where does he believe it? Right. Does anyone have anything other than I had fainted? That you'll notice in your translations, the words are in italics there at the beginning. It's an incomplete thought without us adding something in there. Unless I had believed, well, what's the beginning? And so our translators add a few words there.
Mine put, I had fainted. Anybody have anything other than that? I have lost heart. Anything else? Okay, so we're trying to fill in the thought there that unless I had believed, I had fainted or lost heart, I'm going to fall in some way. And so it's my belief that keeps me grounded and strong to see the goodness of Jehovah. And He does nothing but good for His people. And so it does give us that confidence. Okay. And it's in the land of the living. This is just simply an expression while I'm living before I die and go to the grave. So we need to have this confidence. Larry, number 15. What exhortation does the psalmist give his readers? Right. Wait here does not mean I'm waiting, twiddling my thumbs. I'm waiting just sort of bored and nothing to do. I'm just waiting. It's not that. It's waiting in the sense of an eager patience and hope that the Lord is going to do what the Lord says He's going to do. We have a strong endurance and confidence. It's that kind of waiting. I'm patient and I know the Lord is going to do what He said He's going to do. And so that is the encouragement right here at the end. And also spiritually, be strong and courageous. And this is the type of admonition we need. We need the admonition to be strong and courageous to talk with our neighbor about the gospel. You know, we need to be strong and courageous to stand for truth and things like that. I think when we're inside this building together, it's pretty easy to be strong and courageous. But when we step out and go to work and other places, do we lose that? And so we need to have that in our lives. And we talk about growing, small congregation needs to grow. Well, the only way we're going to add numbers is through conversions. And the only way there's going to be conversions is if we go talk to people. Now, there may be some periodically that come here, but that's rare. We have to go out. Every once in a while, you'll get someone coming, looking. But the vast majority is us going out, talking with others. And often that takes strength and courage to do that. But we also need patience and hope and confidence. We need to wait on the Lord. Okay, let's look at some applications today. Again, it's always important to apply these things in our lives. We're not looking just merely for academic information. We're looking, how can we change today? So, first of all, if we have a good, strong faith, it will banish fear. We do not need to have fear or be afraid in the face of adversaries. Patty, what admonition did Moses give Israel in Exodus 14:13? Do not be afraid. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not. Okay, Shannon, what admonition is given in Hebrews 13:6?
Not to fear.
Okay, do not fear. Sherry, what does God not give us? He does not give us a spirit of fear. So if we have it, where does it come from? If it doesn't come from God, where does it come from? It comes from us. It's not His fault. If we have it, it's us. And it's certainly something the devil would like us to have, but it doesn't come from God. And so if we have it, we need to get rid of it. If we are to fear anyone, who is it, Eric? Who are we to fear? Yeah, the only fear we really need to have is of God Himself, that He's going to judge us, and so we need to change, our lives. But we don't need to fear men or anything involving this life. Number two, our one main desire in life needs to be in the Lord's house, to serve Him, to worship Him. One thing, not two, one. One, single-minded devotion, single-hearted service. What one thing did Mary choose that was more important than her sister Martha? Joyce?
To sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His word.
Right, to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His word. And Martha, what was her problem? Jesus said, you are what? You're distracted. You're distracted by many things. And that's what goes on today. Mike, what one thing did Paul have as his goal in life? Right. Leaving behind those things, I stretch forward to that upward calling. Okay. This one thing I do. It's great. It's a great lesson. Single-minded. And when you have your single-minded devotion, you get more done. You're focused. And that type of thing. And we need that in a spiritual sense with everything going on in our life. Okay? The psalmist went to the tabernacle and sang praises in the face of his enemies. It's described as the day of trouble. He didn't just sit home and sulk and whine and cry and woe is me. But he went and he worshiped God and there were sacrifices of joy. Matthew, what did Paul and Silas do when they were in prison? They sang hymns, okay? So we need to remember that. We need to seek the face of the Lord in times of trouble. Janice, what is involved in seeking the Lord's face? Seeking Him continually, okay? Did anybody get anything else? From the First Chronicles or Second Chronicles or Psalms passage? Yeah, that was one thing I wanted you to get in there as well. Make sure you have humility or humble ourselves. A lot of these passages talk about, and when they humble themselves and seek my face. It means to turn to God in humility, and we want to come and change our life, and we want God to forgive us and help us. We're here to serve Him. But there's a big emphasis in these verses on humility. Seeking God's face instead of this proud, hardened, I don't need God. Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm sorry for what I've done. So make sure you have also in there the idea of humility. That's a very important part of seeking the Lord's face. And I need your help and forgiveness and things like that. It's going to come from humility. Did anybody have anything other than that they want to add in? Shaking their fist, right? Wasn't his fault. He didn't cause it, you know. So come to him humbly, seek his face humbly, and he'll help you. But yeah, you're right. They come shaking their fist and angry and upset. That's a good point. Okay, number five. Physical family may forsake us, but the Lord will never forsake us. Mandy, what promise does the Lord give in Isaiah 49:15? I'm sorry? Yeah, He will not forget you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Okay? And Larry, we don't need to faint. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. We need to wait patiently on the Lord. What admonition does Paul give in 1 Corinthians 15:58? Good. And then 16:13. Right. Act like men, spiritually mature, spiritually strong, be steadfast, unmovable. We need these things today. And then, Patty, what admonition does Paul give the Ephesians in Ephesians 6:10? Be strong. Exactly. That's the passage about putting on the whole armor of God. So be strong in the Lord's might. So let's have a fearless trust in God. Let's have confidence and courage and strength. Let's sing about a few of these things before we close this morning. Sing a few verses of Psalm 27, 1 through 4. And this one is to the tune of I Bring My Sins to Thee. The Lord's my shining light and my salvation sure. Who can fill me with fright or move my heart secure? The Lord's my stronghold ever near. Of whom then shall I stand in fear? Of whom then shall I stand in fear? When adversaries came to eat my flesh away. Those wicked tripped in shame and fell to their dismay. Though hosts surround, I will not quail, and still I trust, though war assail, and still I trust, though war assail. My one desire has been, still to the Lord I'll pray, that all my days within the Lord's house I may stay, the Lord's own beauty to admire, and in His temple to inquire, and in His temple to inquire. Let's sing verses 4 through 6 to the tune of, where are we at here? Let me get back here at the beginning. A Charge to Keep I Have. I ask the Lord and seek this one thing to obtain, that in the Lord's house I may live and ever there remain. To gaze upon the Lord, His beauty to stay, to ponder and inquire. He'll hide me in His tent when comes the evil day. He'll set me high upon a rock, I'll in His shelter stay. My head shall higher be than all my foes around. I'll in my Lord's tent sacrifice and sing with joyful sound.